You're listening to the Oasis podcast, and I'm Alan McKay. Have a good one.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. So it's been another mad week in the world of the Gallagher brothers. We're going to be covering all that kind of stuff here today. Plus also the main interview is from a couple of weeks ago now, and it is with Alan McGee. Yes, that's right. Returning to the podcast for his second appearance is the man who discovered them and signed Oasis and absolute music industry legend and top man, Alan McGee. So I really look forward to you guys hearing that interview. And then also we're going to be covering, as part of the A to Z, Can You See It Now? I Can See It Now, which I think I might have chosen as my least favourite Oasis song. So yeah, we're not going to be spending ages on that, to be honest, because there's not much to say about this quite annoying instrumental. But anyway, we will do that. And yeah, so it's going to be good. Anyway, let's find out what's going on in the news in the world of Oasis. Both the Gallagher brothers have been very busy. They've been out and about. They've been doing gigs. They've been doing media. Who should we start with? Let's start with... I got tagged quite a bit because, you know, I want to try and get Liam on the podcast. I've sort of tried to make it happen. And one of the things I've always said is, look, the thing is, Liam's... people, they don't really let him do podcasts. You know, he's all about radio and TV. You know, that's really, you know, if he's going to do a podcast, yeah, he'd probably come and do mine. Well, anyway, Liam did a podcast this week, although to be fair, this is the Peter Crouch podcast for BBC Radio, so it's not really a podcast. And also, it wasn't even like a little in a studio podcast thing. This was in front of 3,500 people. Anyway, let's have a little bit of that.
Right, Liam, I thought I was coming for the cheeky little parky-like gig and that, but 3,000 people. Hell, mate, I'd have put on my best gear and that, but, yeah, it's good to see yous anyway.
Hey, Liam, how does this compare to Glastonbury?
It's not as good as Glastonbury, is it? Oh!
Can I just ask you, obviously, Man City... this season.
If there's any scouts in the house, you know you got the fucking booby prize. Right? Because you're after the big one, but we got it off you, didn't we? All right, so let's get that one out of the way. But what were you saying?
Well, no, I was going to say, so where were you when you won the league? Were you at the game?
I was in my house because I'm an armchair supporter.
Yeah.
So I was there watching it and then, I wasn't drinking while I was watching it because I was trying to be the 12th man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I went off me when we won.
Okay.
I had about 8 vodkas and I was in bed at 8:30, pissed out of me napper. No one had come out with me, you know what I mean? I was going, come on, let's go out. And like, obviously living in London and that, there's not that many City fans down here. So I was Billy No Mates. So bet it was at 8:30.
Yeah.
Liam, I know this is such a weird situation.
It's not weird. This is where it's at. It's ain't fucking weird. So the country's on its f***ing ass at the moment. We need more of this shit. Real people getting together and having a f***ing good time.
Also, Liam's been out and about playing. He was in Prague a couple of nights ago. And that set ended up being live streamed pretty much. And I watched quite a big chunk of it, which was very good. Liam was sort of moaning about the lights. It's a new kind of lighting setup he's got and screens at the back. You know, that's all different now. And he wasn't happy about it. He kept moaning about the lights being too bright. Anyway, let's have a little bit of that.
This was the Sega. I'm going to town with a green sound.
She's got a spinning head, massive fucking teeth.
And he's been playing Cork tonight. I'm recording this Sunday night, and yeah, Liam has played Cork tonight. I've seen a bit of the social media reaction. It all seems to have been really, really good. So if you were there at Cork or at Prague or any of the other ones and want to drop me over a review, do feel free to fire it over oasispod@gmail.com, as is the usual place to do that. Right, over in Noel World, he's also been busy. Tonight, as I say, Sunday night just gone, he was on a show with Dermot O'Leary called Real Stories, which I can't grab a clip from because it's BBC, but yeah, apparently that was good, and if I can grab a clip next week, I will. And also, by the time you've heard this, it will have been broadcast already, but Liam is being interviewed on BBC Breakfast with Colin Paterson, who's a friend of the show, former guest. So I hope you guys enjoyed that, whatever it was. Also, Noel's done a couple of other interviews this week. One of them was with Chris Evans. They all tend to do the same thing, don't they? They do Chris Evans on, they do Absolute Radio. Same old thing. But anyway, there was a couple of interesting bits that came up in the interview with Chris Evans. So let's have a little bit of this. This is Noel talking about what he was up to the previous night, which was noodling away, doing a little bit more recording for the next EP.
I'm in the studio at the minute putting the finishing touches to this next EP that's coming out. And one of the extra tracks I was making up in the studio the other day, and I was listening back to it last night thinking, actually, it needs a bit more guitar. So I was what we call in the game noodling while watching the telly, right, while Sarah was sat on the couch kind of going, really? And I'm like, just give us 10 minutes. It's like, really? Spend all day in the studio and then come home and spend all night playing the guitar. So that's when.
So you're bringing your work home. Is the studio in your house?
No. I'm just building a studio now in King's Cross. No, I wouldn't be allowed one in the house.
Right, that's interesting. Okay, building a studio in King's Cross.
I had a studio in the house in the 90s, and I never did anything.
Right.
Because there was always an excuse not to go there. Whereas I think if you have to get on the tube and go to a studio, you're more liable to kind of... It's like going to the gym. Once you've got the gear on, you might as well go, right? If you're not, to me, the gym is not a struggle. It's putting the shorts on. That's the struggle.
So that's interesting to hear. I think that, you know, a criticism of some of his recent stuff has been that there's not enough guitar in it. So actually, yeah, if he's going away and adding a bit more guitar, I think that could only be a good thing. I've never known there to be too many guitars on one of his records, even Be Here Now, that didn't have enough guitars. And if you think they had too many guitars, then you're wrong. You're not listening to it properly. Also, Noel was in the news with some comments on sort of Brexit and North Korea and stuff this week. And to be honest, it's not massively different to what he's been quoted about saying on Brexit before. I think a lot of people can get a bit put out about it because he sort of comes across quite right-wing and quite kind of conservative with a big C. But to be honest, it's no real difference to what he's said before. You know, he didn't want there to be a Brexit, but then the fact that people have voted for it, he wants people to get on with it and stop moaning about it. But you know, that's kind of his view on it. I've got no issue with that.
We're living in strange times now, aren't we, where it's so people's beliefs are so opposing, which is fine, which is good in a way, do you know what I mean, if people believe in such. But the fact that it's now become so, you know, you see, it used to be people who were right-wing that were violent, protesting violently. Now you see people who are left-wing violently protesting and lobbing milkshakes. So where's the milkshake thing coming? Funny as throwing milkshakes at each other. It's like, I was talking about this the other night, it's going, what? So you're now seeing people from the left. I know better than the people from the right, in that respect. It's quite sad, really. And all over something that was, frank, you know, a democratic vote took place. And it went one way, and the other people don't like it. And I said to most people, there's only one thing worse than a fool who voted for Brexit. That's the rise of trying to get the vote overturned.
I think that's about all now, news-wise. We will crack on with this interview now with Alan McGee. But before we do that, I just wanted to give you guys a reminder about the upcoming live shows that we've got. So I am going to be doing an evening with Alan McGee on 7th of September at Arlington Arts Centre, which is near Newbury. So if you're around, anywhere around Reading or Wokingham or Basingstoke or Newbury itself, or, you know, even up to Oxford or Winchester, any sort of anywhere around there, come on down, because it's a really good opportunity. Should be a great setting to hear me chat away with Alan, plus live music. And 11th of October, we have got the Water Rats also with Alan, which would be great. And that's with live music as well, the Clockwork. So it'll be fantastic to come back to the Water Rats. That should be a really, really good show. So make sure you're coming down to that. Also, 2nd of August, I'm going to be at the Star-Shaped Oasis night at the O2 Islington Academy. Me and the Magic Mod are going to be co-hosting. And that night, I think we're going to do the Oasis Trivia Showdown. So if you're getting tickets for that, you want to take part, get in touch with me. Depending on how many people want to do it, we might get, you know, a bunch of people on stage and crown the number one Oasis trivia champion of the world, which would be absolutely brilliant. And then any other upcoming events, actually, we might find we might do this again, because I think it should be a lot of fun. And then we can make this a regular thing at live events or even on the podcast itself. So yes, really looking forward to that. 2nd of August, head to the Star-Shaped website, go and get your tickets. But yeah, so it's me and the Magic Mod hosting. Then you've got Alan's going to be doing Q&A, plus you've got Phil Smith DJing, plus you've got Oasis playing. So it should be a really, really good night, that one. And then also, we are still looking at these evenings around the country as well, and I am pleased to confirm the first of these. Now, this is going to be 1st of November. It's going to be in Glasgow at a bar called Stereo. I'm teaming up with the Oasis tribute band Columbia, The Sound of Oasis, and it's going to be a Q&A with Tony McCarroll. Plus, we might do the another round of the Oasis Trivia Showdown. And then Columbia are going to play, I think the plan is, the Definitely Maybe Its Entirety and then the Greatest Hits set. I think it's skiddle.com we're doing the tickets through. But anyway, the link's going to be in the description of this episode. Come on down. That's going to be an absolutely incredible night. If you're in Glasgow, Edinburgh, anywhere around there, come on down. And come out and support the Oasis podcast. Come out and support Tony. You heard how amazing the last Water Rats show was, the passion. Scottish fans, especially Glasgow as well, come on, you guys are even more passionate than the bloody Londoners. So yeah, really excited. I bet you guys are going to make it an incredible night. And just to say, I've still got another couple of irons in the fire that we're looking at confirming, hopefully the next time we speak to you. So anyway, loads of opportunity to come out and see me, come out and see Tony, Alan McGee. It's going to be a great few months, great end of the year. But anyway, let's crack on with this interview. So after the break, this will be me with Alan McGee. So I'm here with my very good mate now, old acquaintance, Alan McGee. How are you doing, Alan?
Hey, James. Good.
Good, good, good.
You've had a... So I just, last time we spoke, we were sort of mainly focused on Definitely Maybe side. And I just said, I just wanted to have a chat to you about all the stuff you've got going on, because, you know, you are busier than you've ever been right now.
Yeah, it's good times. I've got the movie that I just met Ian Bremner last night.
I just saw the photo. How was that?
It was great. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. He started talking like this, and because he's actually from Edinburgh, and he's a little bit posh. And then when he went into speaking as if he was from Glasgow, because Glasgow, and when the whole Edinburgh's a kind of posh city, really, ultimately. Yeah. I mean, he's got some fucking maniacs that, yeah, you know, yeah, live there that support the football teams and everything, but overall it's quite a nice town,
yeah,
and Glasgow's overall is,
yeah,
you know, yeah, loads of lunatics. And they all talk with us, and he did an Alan McGee voice, which
did
was
he?
Really, yeah, no, he didn't,
had
even
he been,
really,
had he been trying, was this his first chance to do it to
he was watching a he was watching a all these different YouTube videos. He only just met me so socially, you know. I mean, it was just a 2 or 3 hours we sat and chatted to each other, and then he's been offered a gig in Tokyo. The big promoter said, "Do you want to come and do December 31st McGee DJ? Can you bring Spud?" So I've asked him, does he want to DJ in Tokyo? So it's kind of, I think he was thinking, this is quite good. I've met him one time and I've got a fucking...
You got him a gig?
Got him a gig, yeah.
In Tokyo as well, yeah, that's crazy.
So it's good.
Mr. Murphy, what exactly attracts you to the leisure industry?
In a word, pleasure. Like, my pleasure and other people's leisure.
Do you see yourself as having any weaknesses?
Oh, yes, because, like... I'm a bit of a perfectionist, actually. Yes, I am. See, for me, it's got to be the best, or there's nothing at all. Like, things get a bit dodgy. I just cannot be bothered. But, hey, I get good vibes about this interview thing today, though, man. Seems to me like it's going pretty well, eh?
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. We'll let you know.
I mean, that is just dream casting, though. As soon as I saw that announced,
yeah,
I just went, perfect. Absolutely,
oh, I agree.
Perfect.
I agree. I mean,
did you have a say, or did you...
No, yeah, I did have a say, obviously, because I'm a consultant to the film, and like, they're portraying me. And the kind of film people ultimately need to keep me kind of sweet, you know, because it's like, it's about my book, so...
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't think it up. I was the one that brought Irvin in, because I was friends with Irvin Welsh. And Shelley, the producer, she went, let's get... Ewan Bremner, and the minute she said it, I went, Spud, and she went, yeah, and I went, right, fuck it, yeah, let's get him. Do you know what I mean? You know? So I'm doing the film. I've got a lot of stuff coming up with the management company. I've got a big Happy Mondays tour. We've just come back to Australia, and we've got a big 3 months British tour coming at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own one man show thing,
yep,
which is going really well, actually. I was just talking to you about it before this interview, and it's doing better than I thought it was going to do. I mean most of the gigs are pretty busy,
yeah,
and then I'm just putting out singles in Nation 23,
yeah,
so it's kind of good time. I mean, I am busy, but it's all, my life's always been a little bit like that. It goes in cycles,
yeah,
and then we're just in a, we're in a high momentum thing at the moment,
yeah.
I think the film coming out is going to really propel the one-man
exactly.
show thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm talking about next year doing like over 100 shows on the one-man show thing, which would be great.
You would know? You show the film and then do a Q&A as well?
I think so, yeah.
That'd
yeah,
be
yeah.
brilliant. I'd love
I
that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, but it's just going to be great, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah. No, that's cool. But, I mean, how is the hunt for Liam going?
I think they're doing the audition on Friday.
Okay.
They're all coming to the studio.
Okay.
All the little audition people.
I didn't get the call. I don't know, maybe they missed my email or something.
Well, you're probably the only person that hasn't applied. Because it's like most of the people, I mean, you do wonder about people's mental health. There was some guy that approached me that had red hair, looked like me when I was in Newspeak when I was 18 or 19. Skinny little fucker, tall, red hair, shades, kind of quiff. And he thinks he should be Liam Gallagher. And Shelley was saying that there's Chinese people like, applying to be Liam Gallagher. And you do wonder at a certain point, how the fuck... I mean, you can think you're a lot of things, but what, you're Chinese and you think you can be Liam Gallagher? It's fucking mad. So
well,
there
think,
you go. What can
I
you
think,
do?
I mean, a few people had said the, like, Risa fans and things like that. And,
yeah.
And to be fair, yeah, absolutely. Like, in the...
He's too old.
He's too old, though, because
yeah, yeah.
that was the big thing on that thing.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
when they signed, right? So
yeah.
I think the age range is 18 to 23.
Yeah, yeah.
So
old,
anyone
yeah.
that you pick, or any, like, big Oasis fan
yeah.
now,
yeah.
you know, but...
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that people have always said is Lennon Gallagher. You know,
and we asked him.
Did
we
you ask him?
We asked his boys, and we asked Bobby Gillespie's son as well.
Oh,
and,
really?
And, I mean, I don't blame the kids because they all turned down. And my daughter is a, you know. If she puts her hair in a certain way, it's kind of me, skinny little me. And I was actually saying, because I don't know if it is practical in a way, because she is ultimately, she's a girl, and you know, and there's a scene that Mulman's kicking fuck out me, and when I'm like 13 or 14, and it would be, I'm not sure I want even Charlie pretending to get kicked. He's a lovely wee kid. So you know. But I said to Charlie, do you want to play me in the young Alan?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I don't want to be you, Dad. Do you know what I mean? And I think Liam's kids are probably in the same mind. I don't know why they didn't want to do it, but it's probably the same deal.
Yeah.
You just don't want to really be your dad, do you, ultimately? No. Do you know what I mean?
And I suppose if they're trying to get away and do something else, and you don't necessarily want to be in your dad's shadow all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, some kids buy into it, and that's cool. Yeah. I mean, my daughter's like, I think she's not really like that, you know. She doesn't really want anything to do with that part. It's kind of fair enough. I think it's just kids are, you know, kids are just their own, the future generations, aren't they? You know, they're just all little people, and you know, they either want to be doing it or they don't want anything to do with you, really. You know, my kid loves me, but she doesn't want to play me. You know what I mean?
It's funny. I mean, can you see her going into the music business?
I don't think so. She's quite talented, though. I mean, she's. I mean, I heard her. She can play the guitar and sing really well. She was singing Belle and Sebastian songs, and I said to her, you should do music. And she was like, no, I don't want. Again, I don't want to be you, Dad. So it's like, do you know what I mean? They've got their own path.
Yeah.
I think she wants to be an art curator or something like that, you know what I mean? So.
Going back to the film, the other announcement that blew my mind was Nick Moran as director. You know, he's a British film legend now, I suppose, from Lock, Stock and everything, but also a great director as well. He's done various films.
Joe Meek,
The Joe Meek film.
It is good, man. We've got a lot of good people. It's Ewan's playing me. There's Irvin doing the script. Danny Boyle's producing it. Nick Moran's the director. Who else we got? We've got Rupert Everett playing a Sony exec.
I can imagine that.
I know. Crazy. Suki Waterhouse is the Rolling Stone journalist. The interviews. I think, I suppose she's the love action, isn't she? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The love interest. I'm sorry. There is pretty good people.
Misfits, drug addicts, and sociopaths.
It's all about the people. Alan signs people. He believes in the people.
It was like the ultimate family.
May I introduce you? The gentleman on the left with the strange hairstyle is Alan McGee, the Chief Executive Officer of Creation Records.
All my life I've really never really wanted to have a real job. So we started a record label.
It was like a gang.
And McGee just had an enormous amount of balls, you know, and an enormous amount of nerve.
He took on the majors, for God's sake.
They had the sound, the image, the philosophy, they had everything intact, it was all there.
Those bands sounded so different.
I was the only person in the world that actually wanted them.
The music industry hasn't had anything like it since the Beatles fought it out with the Rolling Stones in the 60s.
No idea that the world was going to get in it.
I think everybody was kind of holding on for dear life because nobody knew where it was going to end, do you know what I mean? You know, your record label boss always had drugs on him.
Alan McGee, we could start a riot in a paper bag.
I think if you asked any single band now, we'd all love to be back on Creation.
We rewrote pop history with lightning.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
And is it going to be relatively, like, pretty close to the events, or have they taken creative license?
Well, it's supposed to be vaguely close to my book.
Yeah.
But arguably, it's fucking not. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, it's essentially, I tell you why this will probably be a great film, because I go back with Irvin Welsh to 91, 92, and we knew him in Screamadelica. That's when he showed up around the times Primal Scream done Screamadelica, when I put it out.
Yeah.
And he knows me inside out, because I've been mates with him nearly 30 years now. he knows I won't say that's too much, because the script is really fucking edgy. Danny Boyle told him to rewrite it and make it funnier, and he fucking did.
He put in more jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So and even though a lot of them are really, really close to the knuckle a bit, I've not told him to pull one thing.
No.
So in a way, that's the perfect scenario for someone else, yeah, that nobody's going, you can't say that.
Good.
So it should be really, I think it might do really well. I mean, I've never thought it was going to be a hit, but I think it might do better than I thought it was going to do.
Well, I suppose the thing with these days as well, with like Netflix or Amazon or those sort of things, even if it's not like it doesn't have to be a huge theatrical release.
No.
You can just, you know, once you get onto one of those streaming services, and so
let's hope it does well. You know what I mean.
So is it shooting this month?
It shoots next Monday.
Wow.
For 5 weeks.
And are you going to be on set?
No, I'm not the first week. I'm in New York next week.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting, you know. The Liam editions are this Friday. Fuck knows what we're going to get. Let's hope we get somebody at fucking. That is Liam Gallagher. Let's hope somebody that actually. Because it's. Like, I mean, they've had 500 or 600 people send stuff in up to the other day. And it was like, the other ones they sent me, I was saying, we can't do it. Because, I mean, the only thing worse than getting it wrong is Liam Gallagher thinking it's fucking shit, so I've got to get it right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I don't think Noel's going to be that difficult, and I don't think Bobby's going to be that difficult, but I can see Liam Gallagher getting the right actor. I'm going to see that being quite difficult, because the reason it's got to be really right, they've got to look like him and they've got to sound like him
and have the attitude and the swagger.
Well, that's just acting though, but they've got to sound like him and look like him, because the real truth is, it's like, we all think we know Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Well, we all, at different points, are fucking spot like that, James, you know.
Yeah.
We all carried on that we can do Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Well, if we get it wrong, we're going to get crucified, so we better get it fucking right.
Yeah. And it's so funny that that's the key one, you know. I know from, like,
Do you know what, though? Really, the real truth is, it's like, in true Trainspotting kind of fashion, it's not really that much about Liam, Noel, Bobby, as you would think.
Yeah.
They've all got, there's one or two scenes with Liam in it, and there's one or two scenes with Noel in it, but the real story is, I suppose, me mainly, but with Dick Green, Joe Foster, Ed Ball, and we're like the four kind of like little oiks that break into the music business, and it's about our adventure.
I loved every minute of me being on Creation Records. It was the greatest fucking record label you could ever wish to be on. And all the people that worked there, they were real, down-to-earth, fucking beautiful mad heads, all of them.
I think the great thing from our point of view is that Creation was bankrupt, you know what I mean? That was the untold story there, is that we had no money and we were bullshitting Marcus and the boys just as much as anybody else. They thought they were bullshitting us. It was like, we're skint, but don't tell them that. This might get everybody paid next month.
So it's not as if, you know, the person that's playing Liam or Noel or Bobby has to be a fucking great actor, because there's not that much acting in it.
Yeah.
Andrew Innes of Primal Scream's in it quite a lot. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's more like our journey through the music business. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I take it there will be a King Tut scene.
I presume so. I mean, a lot of it is getting shot, I believe, in Watford, believe it or not. They've got this big American house, do you know what I mean? And as long as the sun's shining, you would go, well, that's fucking America. So they're going to shoot a lot of there, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
No, right. Oh, that's brilliant, man. So, do you know when we're likely to be able to see that?
I think they're going to do Sundance. I think that's next February. And I think the film probably will be out next March.
Brilliant.
And there'll be a trailer really soon, because there'll be enough to make a trailer of it, I think, next week.
Yeah.
So it's going pretty fast, dude.
It's going to be awesome. So to end that interview with Alan, that was a little bit of In What World by The Illicits, which is one of the bands that Alan's got signed to, Creation 23. Yeah, thanks again to Alan for doing that. And yes, if you want to see Alan in the flesh, as I've said, there's plenty around the country that he's doing through this promoter Tora Tora. I'm currently only doing these two, but we'll see. If these go really well and they sell out, then I'll do more. And we can get a bit more of an Oasis podcast kind of flavour to these Evening with Alan McGee's. Okay, so next one for the Oasis A to Z. Let's just do this quickly before we close this out. We have got Can You See It Now? I Can See It Now. I asked for your ratings. Now, normally when I do this, I rate 2, 3, 4, or 5, because Twitter polls, you can only choose 4. You can only have 4 selections. So I normally do 2, 3, 4, 5. I think the only other song where I made the options 1, 2, 3, 4 was A Quick Peep. Anyway, I've done 1, 2, 3, 4 here again, and obviously you can always comment for 5, and I kind of take that into account when I break down the figures. But yes, let's see what you guys thought. So 4 got 18%, 3 got 23%, 2 got 28%, and 1 got 31%. So yes, wasn't particularly popular, and it also got the least amount of kind of messages that I think we've had and comments, because look, people just don't know this song. It was only available as kind of it was on a Can tribute album, and then it was available as like a bonus track, so it's just not that well known a song. Anyway, who we've got is Supernova Dragon said 3, one of the better mostly instrumental tracks. I've always thought it should have featured on Don't Believe the Truth as the album opener, and even possibly as a gig opener also. Amy F-Spot said never heard it, found it on YouTube, a B-side of a Japanese import apparently, gave it a 3, wouldn't skip it, just kind of drones along, good background tune, I'm getting Mucky Fingers vibes as well, it's fine. Terry Appleby said, it's okay, but doesn't really go anywhere. I would have preferred it as a last track B-side and had a proper song in its place. Andrew Middleton said, never even heard it. What's it on? Johnny Nicol says 5. I asked why. And he said, always loved that tune, the way it builds to Noel's finale at the end. Was the tune for my bro and best man at my wedding. Wow. Daniel, who is at Daniel_8MCP, said, who on earth has voted 4 here? And I said that I've been very surprised by the votes, and he said, me too. It's just a bit of a waste, in my opinion. Will, who's at WNickel32, said, 5 all day long. Just listen to the last 2 minutes of it. Get the volume up as loud as you can and appreciate. We Are DNA says, it sounds like Coldplay's Yellow, closing with Noel's distant vocals saying that he can see it and asking if we can too. Pretty much a waste of space and time. I've probably only ever played it in full by accident. 2 out of 10, barely a 1 out of 5. Nello Pisani says, tune, forgot how much it sounds like Mucky Fingers. Michael Foy says, classic tune, will definitely borrow the chord structure with Goodman 12 Jack on lead and make it nothing short of biblical. Alright. And the Wheel of Doom said, average semi-instrumental, plods along, but then the build-up to Noel wailing away is decent. Middle of the road, it's no fucking in the bushes, that's for sure. So, yeah, my kind of view on it is, I don't know this for definite, but it feels to me like a sort of an outtake from the recording of Mucky Fingers.
I mean, there is a demo to it, so it's not like a spur-of-the-moment recording studio thing, because otherwise, why would it be demoed? You know, if it's just sort of, you're recording Mucky Fingers and you kept going and jamming, and then you've cut this out of the jam. When I originally heard this track, that's what I thought it was. But then when I found out there was this demo of it, you think, oh, okay, well, it can't be that then. But it is basically the same chord progression as Mucky Fingers. It's nothing earth-shattering. I mean, it just goes E-A-B. That's it. E-A-B. We can play them as power chords, you know. That's literally it. That's all it does all the way through. And so that is effectively the same as Mucky Fingers, but it's effectively the same as, you know, pretty much most songs in rock and roll kind of have that similar progression. So, yeah, and kind of all it does is it kind of plows through that in sort of an insistent, sort of nagging way, and then it builds and builds and builds, and then at the end Noel comes in and says, can you see it now? I can see it now. And then it ends. And okay, and I mean, I can kind of get it in the context of a Can tribute, because Can was sort of this experimental krautrock that was sort of a bit weird and would go off on these you know, long insistent passages. So if you kind of, as a tribute to that, it sort of makes sense. It's also got a bit of kind of, you know, that kind of 80s Jesus and Mary Chain, My Bloody Valentine kind of feel to it. Like these noisy bands that kind of, you know, aren't necessarily trying to be commercial and tuneful, but just sort of, you know, creating these kind of soundscapes. I can kind of get it. If you're coming from that point of view, yeah, it sort of has that, but not really. I don't think it does that. I mean, talking about Ride, you know, Ride were always able to do that, create these incredible soundscapes. But, you know, this is just not at that sort of level for me. The chord sequence being so simple. And, it takes so long to get going. And then it's quite good when Noel comes in at the end. But, yeah, it's very, very forgettable. And, yeah, what do we always ask? Should this have been a B-side? Should this have been a bonus track? I think a kind of a bonus track. I mean, I'd rather have it than not. So I don't think it should have just been chucked in the bin, but yeah, a bonus track, no more than that. But if you guys did have any specific thoughts on it, then do feel free to email in, and we'll play it in a future episode. Right, so it was only been a week since we last recorded, so we haven't had that much feedback, but we have had a gig review here from Robert.
Hi JC, this is Robert from São Paulo, Brazil. I'm doing a little bit belated review on Noel's gig at Heaton Park. I was very lucky to spend my vacations in Europe and very, very fortunate to see Noel play in his hometown. It was a really, really amazing show. I think it was my very best experience as an Oasis and a Noel fan. I was able to see him twice here in São Paulo, both as part of festivals. First time I saw him was at Lollapalooza in 2016 here. And I saw him last year too. He did a smaller festival with Foster the People. So both times I saw Noel, he played a somewhat shortened set list. But both times were really, really great. I mean, at Lollapalooza, he really treated the crowd, playing Listen Up, Champagne Supernova, Diggs' Dinner, and I much prefer the version he played of Donald Back in Anger, where he played with the electric guitar. I think it gives a more rock and roll vibe to the song. It's really good. And the second time, and this last time, he played with the acoustic guitar, which is not bad either. And the first time I saw him, he had the band without Yem. I think the band is much better now with Yem and also the other members. Other part that was really, really amazing was the crowd. I've never seen a crowd go like this wild for a gig. Like, they sang literally every single song with him, which is something I had never seen here in Brazil. Especially the newest songs, like from Who Built the Moon. Some people here are really not into it. I really like it, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. But it really, really amazed me how everybody sung every song from beginning to start. Like, even Black Star Dancing, like some newer songs, everybody was really into it. And another part that was personally very amazing to me was that the last time Noel came here, he started talking to the crowd, and I think he was kind of busting balls with some people in front, and they were asking him to play Live Forever, Talk Tonight, The Importance of Being Idle. And then he said he wouldn't play Importance of Being Idle, he wouldn't play Talk Tonight, and then he played both songs in Manchester, which were really, really awesome.
Do you know what? I'm really fucking sorry, but I'm not playing it tonight. Because I don't want to. I'm not playing Talk Tonight. I'm not playing The Importance of Being Idle. Because I don't fucking want it. Because I can't be fucking bothered. I play what I want, not what you want. That's just the way it is. If you come to my dressing room before the gig and ask, I might say, come on then. But it's not on the set list now, so there's nothing I can do.
The Master Plan is truly one of my favorite Oasis songs. I really, really love the lyrics from The Importance of Being Idle. I think it's a very powerful song too. And Noel delivered it very well, alongside with the band. And it was just a very, very awesome experience. Dead in the Water too was like awesome, listening to the entire crowd sing at their full lungs. Like, was really, really emotional. And I think Noel too was showing a lot of emotion. He was really touched after Don't Look Back in Anger. I think he felt the moment, and also at the part where he sings It Doesn't Stop Raining from The Importance of Being Idle, and it had rained all day in Manchester, so he kind of gestured it to the crowd. It was really awesome. Thank you, JC. Keep up the good work. I really enjoyed the podcast. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Robert. Much appreciated. All the way from Sao Paulo to come and watch Noel play at Heaton Park. Absolutely brilliant. And you got you got completely soaked. That's Manchester for you, I'm afraid. Yes, brilliant. Thank you very much. Anyone that's done also bid see the Gallaghers on their recent shows, do feel free to send in your clip. Much appreciated. Right, well, I think that'll about do it for this episode. One thing I just wanted to say quickly is that this week I've interviewed maybe the biggest name I've interviewed so far, which was Ricky Hatton. Yeah, Ricky Hatton, the former two-weight world champion boxer. So yeah, really excited for you guys to hear that. That should be with you very shortly. Plus also, I've also done an interview with Matt Glazeby, who's the author of the new book Britpop Cinema, and that should be coming out very soon as well. And then we've got more interesting stuff and cool things coming up. But just a reminder, do make sure you check out those live events we got coming up. So if you head to my pinned tweet, that always has the sort of the full list. Or if you go to the description of this episode, then you'll have links there to tickets for all the different shows we've got coming up, whether it's with McGee, whether it's with Tony or whoever. So anyway, all good. Right. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And most of all, thanks goes to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it is greatly, greatly appreciated. You can support the show from $1 per month over at patreon.com/OasisPod. Please follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com and please subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.